Welcome to Unbounded Potential's Go Beyond series with your hosts, Karen King and Selma from Radis. Our mission is to help you tap into your innate potential by providing you with cutting-edge speakers and leading-edge information.
You will receive the insights, tools, strategies, and mindset that you need to empower yourself so that you can empower others as together we empower the world.
Well, welcome everyone to the Unbounded Potential Go Beyond interviews. My name is Karen, and with my friend and co-host Selma, we are your hosts for tonight's interview. Tonight's guest is an alchemist who has been working with higher orders of mind for 18 years. Many have called him the most experienced alchemist of the modern age. We're going to ask our guest the questions as to why alchemy was used by all the great mystics and sages for more than 20,000 years, why it's so pertinent now in our own 21st century timeline, how it does what it does, and why it's already playing a critical role in the transformation of Earth, a role which is expanding right this second in powerful reality recoding. But if you, our dear audience members, also have questions for our guest, your magic number is 2. So when we come to that part of our show, press *2 when we take your live calls. And, of course, we'll always be taking your questions from the submission box on unboundedpotential.com/go. So if you want to open, attune, and expand with powerful tools and resources that can create true and lasting changes in your life, and if you want to turn the lead of your life into gold, you are in the right place. Selma, what else can you tell us about tonight's guest?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say forget about the pictures you see of the venerable old alchemist philosopher huddling over his flask, a bubbling liquid immersed in his quest for the elusive philosopher's stone, a mere grain of which will change a mass of molten lead into the purest form of gold. Tonight, it's all about the new look of the modern-day alchemist coming from Bountiful, Utah. Now, that's an appropriate name. Harnessing the forces within you to get the results you desire and deserve, and unleashing your true potential and masterfully, you know, manifesting your dreams and goals and really turning the lead into your life into gold. Now, tonight is about presenting a brand new speaker to the teleseminar industry. Tonight is about presenting you with the Holy Grail, alchemy, neurochemistry, and brain myomagnetism. Now, tonight's guest is a remarkable Jason Davis, consciousness pioneer, astronomer, treasure hunter, shaman, businessman, and for the past 18 years, someone who has been described as the most experienced alchemist of the modern age. He has, you know, been involved in global, even galactic level work, helping thousands of people, moving them towards ever-expanding consciousness. Now, what we love about Jason is he provides not only the information, but also the practical resources to use to elicit positive transformation and consciousness expansion. Welcome to the Unbounded Potential Go Beyond interviews, Jason Davis.
Well, thank you very much. This ought to be a blast.
It's a lot of fun.
I really like this so far. may we do something kind of interesting to start this?
Okay. Are you surprising us?
Maybe. But what we can do, you know, is first off, we are going to be touching more than just a little bit on the brainwave states. And, of course, as you know, but some of the listeners might not, is that we're talking about beta, alpha, theta, delta, and the theoretical gamma. And, you know, a bit on each. Beta is just the awake conscious state. Alpha is, light meditation, daydreaming out the window. Most people will drop into alpha while driving because it doesn't require any thought to do it. And theta is meditation and light sleep, and then delta is deep sleep, and then there are meditative states that actually get, you know, well into delta, if not lower. And a way for this entire crowd to to sync up and be a little bit more together right now would be for us to close our eyes and just get in an open and receptive state and just breathe evenly through the nose. And I will simply invoke a spirit that would like to be here as a sort of common ground for our deeper minds. And now I'll just flow some energy. And that puts us in a bit more of a synchronization. Can you two feel it?
I can. I can. It was instant. Selma, how about you?
Well, I, you know, kind of get that tingling.
You and your tingling.
I know.
You feel relaxed?
I feel, you know, I guess it's the people that we have. They do something fantastic, and I just have that sensation.
Absolutely.
It's good.
Absolutely.
It's good.
Awesome.
It's a really beautiful feeling. It always is when people gather. It just is so beautiful. All right. Well, did you want to get this rolling with a question, or should we?
We are. I was just going to mention, Jason, that the Yardbirds, you know, English rock band, had a string of hits in the 60s. They had a song that started off with Tinker Tailor, Soldier Sailor. Well, you yourself, Jason, have been so many things. Treasure hunter, shaman, astronomer. You say kid as well. And I've spent 18 years as an alchemist. Where did the spark come from to begin working in the field of alchemy?
I really started my real awakening, you know, because I was always one of those peace-loving kids. I'd break up fights. I was always kind of awake, you know. When I was 12, for instance, I really wondered why I couldn't pass my hand through that wall, because I had some understanding that it was not really solid, stuff like that. And I always kind of understood that in a way. And so, you know, I was just that kind of a kid, but I also had to go through my own stage of total pragmatism. As an example, and just to give an example, one day I was walking past the nonfiction section in the bookstore, and Whitley Strieber's first book, Communion, was out. And I saw that really evocative alien face sitting there on that book, and I just sneered at it. I was just, oh, come on, you know. And so and I remember talking to a cousin of mine, and I was saying, what do you think about life after death? And he said, well, all I know is that we're all a radio signal, and just because the radio gets turned off doesn't mean the signal doesn't continue. And then one day, I'm going to guess 25 years ago, maybe 20, I don't know, almost 25, my uncle, who is just a monumental intellect, walked into my office because he was sharing the same an office in the same building that I was, and he asked me, what do you think of this idea? What if the Holy Grail is actually just a sort of updated version of the symbolism of the Ark of the Covenant, and what they represent is knowledge being passed from the womb of mother to the basically the womb of daughter. And I had seen a book on the bookshelf maybe 2 weeks before that called Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and that's just a fantastic work. If you anybody wanted to get in and find out some of the inside information on the Templars, for instance. And right when he asked me that book flashed into my mind. And I said, that's a great question, Jim. And so I think I actually know where to find the answer. And it was lunchtime, so I got up and I left, and I went and bought the book, and I went, to lunch and began reading it. And the entire history of, everything from, with recorded history from the Sumerians forward can be tracked via a current of thought that has everything to do with alchemy. And so, you know, it was right around that time that I just typed in, you know, alchemy. You know, like, does anybody make stuff like this? And in doing so, one of the first people that you're going to come across is a guy by the name of David Hudson, and he was literally a dirt farmer in Arizona. In other words, he prepared soils and then sold those soils. And he was, you know, down there, of course, there's a lot of alkalinity in the soil, and so they have to put a certain kind of acid onto it to get it to prepare, and then they wash that over and over and over until it's just a really, you know, arable soil. And he was spraying onto those soils a certain compound to prepare them, and he was watching little flashes of light happen. And because they did a lot of their work at night, because it was cooler to do it, you know, those flashes were quite prominent. And you know, really, you know, confused them, obviously. It was quite a surprise to see it. Apparently, it was some new compound that they were using. And they got over and they looked, you know, they you know, just look where they had been, and they could see just tiny little piles of white powder. And so he, you know, became intrigued with that, and then one thing led to another, and he, you know, finally got an analysis lab in Russia to be able to truly analyze what was there, because it really defies analysis. And the reason for that is that it doesn't vibrate in the spectral domain, for instance, of gold. In other words, you can take this, you know, to any lab in the United States, and they're probably not going to be able to see it. They'll probably just tell you it's contaminants or something. And when he found out that he had gold, rhodium, iridium in there in a completely different state than the metallic, he thought that he was onto something extraordinary, and of course he was. And that led me to websites that got me started in how to prepare it.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of your biggest challenges or obstacles along the way, Jason?
Interestingly enough, it had to do with you know, there were several synchronicities that took place. And for instance, I was suddenly, you know, had come into contact with a local alchemist who focuses really on technological means to do things, and he just happened to hand me one that was made by a friend of his that was allegedly to contain rhodium and iridium. And it was made from plant material, and the method was the one that was the method that the Essenes used. And so in saying that all by itself, you know that Jesus used these materials. And I began to use that and my own and a high-level gold that was being made by a gentleman in Vancouver. And I realized one day that I was surrounded by beings. It was just really a palpable feeling. And that night I had a dream that was, you know, one of those types that's the most vivid of your life, if not totally lucid. And I realized I was dreaming, but I didn't try to take control of it. But I was sitting in front of this holographic device, and it was a true machine, but it was holographic. It was just made of light. And there was this trackball that was, you know, the size of a grapefruit. And it was sort of itself illuminated, and you know, you could roll it around and watch what's going on this oscilloscope like thing that was also just virtual. What I was doing is making adjustments to my field, and they were basically tutoring me on how to do it myself using that virtual machinery. And I woke up different, and I woke up more aware of you know, higher things going on that were, you know, nevertheless not visible to my, you know, my normal senses, not detectable to my normal senses. And it was wild because the chemistry utterly changed overnight. And in the way that it changed is that the materials I was working with ceased behaving the way that the instructions described. They just absolutely ceased behaving that way. And what was happening was kind of impossible when I got looking into it and talking to other alchemists about it, because they were just saying, well, it's clearly you, because that isn't supposed to happen. And I went on and on and on and on, wondering why I was blowing it, why I couldn't get it right. And that went on for, I think almost a week. And I worked almost nonstop. And then finally I said, well, maybe I'm not fouling it up. Maybe this is how it's supposed to be. And so I wound up just basically balancing the pH of the solution that I was working with. And I watched as all of the solid materials vanished into the solution. And so I had the undissolved precipitated stuff analyzed, and the one that was the perfectly clear liquid out of the same batch. And the one that had the solids was detectable as, literally percentages of magnesium and calcium and things like that. But when it disappeared back into the solution, it was down to just parts per million. And so it actually does literally, once back into that dissolved state, goes to a higher level of being where it can't even be detected. And it was at that moment that I heard, really, only for the probably second or third time in my entire life, I heard a voice. And it said, now you know what the philosophers always have known. You will make the stone when you can make the stone.
So,
and that was it.
So, Jason, are you saying then, so the central idea is that you've got matter but spirit, and you need the combination of both of them for that unity? Almost inseparable, right?
Yeah, precisely. I mean, that's truly the alchemical imperative, is to embody the totally expanded state of being able to recognize spirit realms while being embodied. And so it's the, it's been described as the paradox as an example, but that's what the imperative is to open one to deeper and deeper and deeper states to become aware of much more of reality.
Isn't that interesting?
I like that.
And so, the whole philosophical approach to it is that if you, for instance, are taking the metal gold and you are one way or another, chemically, for instance, breaking apart the metal-to-metal bonds, once those bonds have become too weak, then it can break down into a diatomic and maybe even a monoatomic form, which is actually a potable form, an edible form. And you could say that form is almost like between matter and spirit, and because of that is a bridge between matter and spirit. And then, as just an example, one of the things that David Hudson, for instance, in his pretty thorough investigation found out is that when it gets to the truly monoatomic ceramic state, it's a state that is actually defies all the other phases of matter. Once it gets to that, it actually just instantly loses, I believe it's 44% of its mass. And that means that some of that mass is actually vibrating in another level of being. And so in that respect, in that same substance, you have physical, quasi-physical, and non-physical being all in the same substance.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, this is fascinating. Okay, I'm just going to probably identify myself as maybe, a Harry Potter movie fan here, Jason, but I'd be interested in hearing what you think of the Philosopher's Stone. Is it, is it a symbol? Is this the elixir of life? How would you relate that to alchemy?
Well, it is alchemy, and it's, you know, veiled in all kinds of symbolism and meaning, and it really can mean something to one person that it doesn't mean to another person. But it goes kind of like this. Only the philosopher's stone, meaning that an alchemist has reached that, you know, that really lofty level of understanding exactly what's going on. For instance, if you take the crystalline structure of any given metal and you break it down into truly edible crystals, what you have are geometries that themselves act as portals to higher intelligence. And so, you know, you can picture, for instance, the whole business of the wizard with the hat and the stars and the crescent moon and things, you know, the conical hat. That was all actually very specific, because that conical hat was a way to focus energy. And the alchemist slash wizard, of course, his head is up there in the stars, in the cosmos. And what he understands is exactly the intelligences that he is working with, and how to give them access to a level of being, our 3D reality, that is otherwise really difficult to access, and therefore is in somewhat of a position of you know, actually being able to direct those intelligences as energy, for instance. And that's where the whole wizard part of it comes into it. What was it you asked me? Did I get a little bit off?
No, that's fine. You know, I just, you know, wanted to see what you thought.
Oh,
because,
the philosopher's,
you know,
stone. Yeah, the philosopher's stone. And so the person, you know, the practitioner, him or herself, sort of becomes that, because you can't make it without becoming it. Mm-hmm. And so what it is really just a very high philosophical understanding of what one is doing, and it can, in a way, sort of translate to this, let's say, this the awareness of an internal pearl, if you will, that that itself is the one eternal, unchanging thing. And once that awareness is you know, to a pretty highly honed condition, then the philosopher's stone is something that can be made literally out of oatmeal. And just because the practitioner is able to handle energy on that level.
You've eaten my cookies? Have you eaten my cookies? Because I'm sure my oatmeal cookies could be called stone. So am I an alchemist or just a bad baker?
The closest I've been to that is fruitcake, you know, but we all know the stories about fruitcake, right? But, you know, I'm willing to try your stones. I mean, your cookies.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that, Jason.
Christmas is just around the corner.
Yeah,
there.
That's
you
right. There,
there. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'll be here in about 5 more days. I mean, the
yeah.
way time is moving.
There's a favorite saying that says, "The hand shaped the clay into the form of the vase, but it is in the emptiness inside that we seek." What does that mean to you, Jason?
Oh boy, I on one of my awakenings, and I think it's important to point out that the alchemy is directly responsible for the state of my consciousness. Everything that I have realized and learned and apprehended on incredible levels is because of the alchemy. And so I was reading a book that was written by the science writer for the LA Times called The Hole in the Universe. And what that book was about was nothingness. And every chapter was preceded by a famous quote, and it could have been Mother Teresa, it could have been Einstein, it could have been Rumi, you know, it was just some famous quote. And that quote was in there, and I read it, and suddenly I knew something. And And what happened in knowing it was the very source of gratitude loaded into my body, and I wound up crying for 4 days. And that understanding is quite simply that the goal ultimately is to purify, and that purification has as much to do with the soul as it does, and in fact more so the soul than it does with the physical body. But in creating conduits to one's own innermost, largest mind, what a lot of people would call higher self, as an example, you have to bring down the barriers that rest between the three levels of mind, which are basically conscious, subconscious, and then, either super conscious or whatever you want to call it, that would be the higher self. And in doing that, you're actually turning the body itself into a vessel of to be able to transduce knowledge and energy and frequencies and so on and so forth. And therefore, in purifying the spirit side of the equation, the body must follow suit, because it bleeds through, obviously, from those non-space-time realms. And in that purification process, using the alchemies, for instance, that I make, you purge. You just purge, and you don't even have to know what it is you're purging. Purification is about removal. That's it. It's about removal. And what's left is a crystal clear vessel for the expression of God.
Crystal clear.
It's energy. That's the emptiness of that saying. And if I remember right, that was Rumi that said that.
Okay. And alchemy has much in common with shamanism. They say a shaman is a multidimensional traveler who journeys into various realms of spirit to bring back power and healing for the benefit of his or her community. Would that describe you, Jason?
Yes.
That's you. Okay. And then would you say, as in alchemy, a shaman's body and psyche become his laboratory, and he's also a medicine maker, often creating his cures as a result of divine inspiration?
Yeah. And
it's, well, we got you down pat, don't we?
Well, it's, and and I really started my whole thing as a shaman. I didn't know I was an alchemist. And because for whatever reason, I also, what I understood about myself is that I could heal by touch, and that was even before I woke up. And I really never understood why that was, as an example, but. And I've been called upon to put that into practice on many, many occasions. And it's actually, so long as it doesn't interfere with the growth of the person that I'm working with, because a lot of time, difficult physical conditions are actually great for accelerated growth. And so one thing that has to happen is that the person must understand and must find out on their own whether or not they've learned all there is to learn from a given condition, and then it's just as easy as can be to get rid of it. But that was where I started, was shamanistically, if you will. I would work on people with, for instance, I'd have tobacco on hand and sage, and I would, clear with stones, meaning crystals and stuff like that, and that's really what sort of gaining an understanding on that level is what led to let's say my initiation into the alchemical lineage, and in having done that, I make the full realization that I was an alchemist in Atlantis, I was an alchemist in Sumeria, I was an alchemist in Egypt and in Europe, and as a druid. And the list goes on. And so, when we reincarnate, we often just reinsert ourselves right back into our own lineage. And that's how the shamanistic element led to the alchemistic element.
Because you were having so much fun, you wanted to do it again.
Yeah,
and again.
Yeah. And
we
as
learn
we know,
more as we go through each experience. Yeah.
Selma, guess what we're doing when we come back?
Yeah. Not talking about our host. I want something more.
Yeah, why not? You know, there's always room for improvement, right? I mean,
okay,
only
so
when you come back, you'll be talking to crystals or something, and everybody will have a crystal in their living room that'll
exactly,
just, you know, be
yeah.
being.
Talk directly into the crystal. That's where how are you going to communicate? We don't worry about computers or telephones. It's talking right into crystal. Oh, now you've given somebody an idea there. All right, Jason. Okay, let's get back to alchemy. What critical role has alchemy right now in the transformation of Earth?
Okay, well, let's talk about those, you know, the levels of being again. If you know, and not necessarily the brainwave states, but the conscious. Let's call it the conscious, the subconscious, and the metaconscious. The reason that that we had to compartmentalize our levels of consciousness in this reality, because, as you know, there are multiple realities. And the reason we had to is because it's so dense that to have a body, a so-called physical body on this level, means that you can't tap into your own metaconsciousness because everything is energy, and in doing that, and especially consciousness, it's just energy. To do that, you would, you know, obviously download too much energy and just, you know, fry your whole being. I mean, you know, everybody in on this call right this second, if you tapped into your metaconsciousness completely in this moment, you'd just go up in flames. And that is the level of consciousness that's, you know, that operates on the whole and within the whole and aware of the whole. And that is also, you know, the perceptual, position / level on which so many what we would call higher beings operate. And therefore, you know, what we would be doing is everything in our power to open conduits to those higher beings so that they can teach us how to do things while we're in these bodies. And then the subconscious is, you know, it's the dream place. It's the astral level. It's the psychic realm, if you will. And it is on that frequency level, as an example, where the collective human consciousness is. And so myself and I don't know how many other producers there are, but most of those producers are very good people operating on at least pretty high levels with, you know, open hearts. And that means that there's probably been something in the area of, I'm going to say 150,000 to 200,000 people who have used alchemical preparations of this type, you know, meaning from metals. And in doing that, they have become transducers of higher level information, codes, knowledge, etc., that flows into the collective consciousness, meaning that it both makes such information available and also raises the frequency of everything on Earth because of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, wow. So because we're using the gold and the platinum, we become conductors.
Yeah, you go to, you know, if we got you, because, you know, you're new to it, and obviously some higher level alchemies are in your future. And some of those, for instance, will make it so that you become so aware of your solar plex and your heart center that you go sit down in a park and just open yourself up and let yourself flow, and you will affect everybody within a mile of you.
How cool is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was cool when I could just speak in parables. Sometimes that just happens when I'm using these phrases. Oh, it's so
right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the really wonderful things to do. And everything is affected by it, because it isn't just people who are going to another level. It's the very DNA of this reality that's going to another level. And so once either a user or a practitioner like myself, as an example, where I have reached this level of completely understanding what that responsibility, for instance, actually equals wisdom, if you will, and where, you know, you can in fact be responsible for huge amounts of energy and information and be trusted to use it in a way that is beneficial according to what is needed at a given time, because, you know, we're not talking about necessarily love as an example, because sometimes even something like light and love have to be balanced out. And so I heard one of the first gentlemen that introduced himself earlier said that he'd reached a state of neutrality, and that neutrality is actually an incredibly high-level way of being. For instance, the old sages of Buddhism would tell you that it's the middle path, as an example, where you have so fully embraced both your light and your dark that you are now operating in a vessel without polarity, as an example. And I forgot where I was taking that.
You're talking about state of neutrality, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we were talking about that, but there was something else that we were saying about it. Well, in any event, it'll probably come back to one of us. You could say that the goal of all of this is to is essentially to dissolve those barriers between the levels of mind. It's like having three different personalities, if you will. And in dissolving those barriers, you know, you're also having to, as already mentioned, remove from your system of being, mainly, you know, for instance, densities and karmic things that are hung up, you know, in your chakras and all that kind of stuff. The byproduct is actually the purging on this level of becoming a clearer vessel as you connect to, you know, deeper into those higher levels of your own mind. And that is, you know, truly precisely what the alchemy is about, is to facilitate connection to the higher mind. And therefore, essentially move to a higher level of being, because, as you know, perception plays a major role in what the world is for everybody. And if you enlarge that perception to include so much more of the reality, as you know, for instance, if our conscious minds represent, you know, two toothpicks, the subconscious mind represents 100,000 toothpicks, and the meta mind represents an infinite number of toothpicks. And so there is always a larger reality that can be apprehended from within the confines of this vessel. And in apprehending, you know, those much larger, more comprehensive realities is what changes the perceptual environment of the one that you're in.
And so, Jason, your work as an alchemist, you know, so you develop physical products, right? And that facilitates a connection to the higher mind.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's ongoing. Sorry?
Yeah, and if there is anything, for instance, such as fear, or even more to the point, whatever is rooting that fear. In other words, what might be the anchor of that fear? You know, for instance, let's say that somebody right now has a fear of knives that they can't explain, and And the reason that they actually have that fear is because deep, deep, deep in the subconscious is an embodiment where they were, you know, stabbed. And so there's now a fear of that. And so what stands between any given person and their higher mind are going to be what establishes the pattern of certain, densities, karmic bonds, programs, memories, and most of those, by the way, are lodged within, deep within the subconscious mind, and so the vast majority of what a person actually fears, they don't even know, and so that's why it became so important as an example for the alchemy to reach a point where it itself could, of its own volition, go in and clear that stuff away, and it's doing that not as that being the priority goal, but to facilitate contact to the higher mind, and to do that, removing everything that stands between conscious self and metaconscious self.
So again, that purification. It's the purification
right.
of that, yeah. Wow.
Kind of dual duties then.
Now, you told us you were a little bit busy on the equinox. What's going on the planet right now?
Right,
and I'm sure you can't tell us everything, but what do you think people want to hear right now?
Well, right before the equinox was, some class X3 coronal mass ejection charged particles, from the sun that was, racing towards the planet, and it was told by one of the superseers that I work with that one of the alchemies that we would be making was from a meteor. And that meteor was described as something, it was just a little chunk of a meteorite. It was being described as something that had actually had its, had being in completely other realities and therefore could function as a bridge easily function as a bridge to higher realities. Not even necessarily higher, but even just other realities. And I just, when I was told that, for heck's sake, I happen to have a meteor that I bought 5 years ago, and I had no idea why I bought it at that time. And it's here somewhere, I went rummaging for it and found it. And I had the person that was looking at it, I said, is this the right one? And they was, yep, that's the one. Of course it is. That's, why you bought it. And so I made a liquid from it, so that once that solar wind, highly charged wave that was actually coming in two waves, I wanted to be able to have it charge that liquid. And so that's exactly what happened. And then in using that alchemy, I was suddenly in touch with things that I, to this minute, I simply can't even believe, and I can't even even begin to describe it. Other than a few of us gained a much larger and clearer understanding of what's really going on Earth, but that's a topic for another day completely.
Absolutely, another show.
Tell us more about your relationship with the sun. You call it your old friend soul. Okay, tell us more. What's unique? What's the stuff going on between the Earth and sun? What's important about this unique relationship?
Well, they're, for instance, astronomy has, and cosmology, and probably even space weather scientists have only recently figured out that there are places on Earth that connect in an almost virtual way directly to the sun magnetically. And so let's see if there is a simple way to describe this. If you could picture a wormhole as an example, that could be almost like what it's like. But this virtual connection is such that the magnetism doesn't really understand distance. It doesn't have to acknowledge distance because, if you hold two magnets, so far apart that they don't attract each other, their fields are still intersecting. You see what I mean? And so in that way, there's not really any distance. And so there is that magnetic bonding, and wherever there's magnetism, there's electromagnetism. And electromagnetism is a big part of what, you know, what we're really talking about with all this, and we'll probably need to get to that sometime here pretty quick. But, you know, the sun's just a giant, roiling furnace with everything in a sort of semi-quantum state, because it isn't cool enough to actually identify. You know, it's only if you took a piece of the sun and put it on a plate and let it cool, you're probably going to wind up with these metals. And so with all of the friction and everything that's going on in the core and all the way out to the surface, and, you know, what they call convection portals, and the convection portals bring, you know, energy from the core to the surface, and then it opens, you know, sunspots, and then those sunspots have the coronal mass ejections, and so everything that happens on Earth is actually ruled completely by the sun, everything, and that like it or not, actually includes women's fertility cycles, that if you, for instance, are using something that can amp up your own internal electromagnetism and bring it more into coherence, for instance, with what the sun is doing, you are really, in effect, doing what the Egyptians did. And a lot of us were there. And so, as just an example, rhodium and iridium in the subtle state or high energy state in Egypt, we in a way that was similar to the way that the Maya were taught by higher beings, because they were all taught by higher beings, only they were perfectly aware of who they were being taught by. They could track not just the long cycles of the sun, but could actually tune into what was going on, for instance, with sunspots. And you know, the sun has what is called the current sheet, which is a current, a giant sheet of electromagnetic energy being projected out from the sun's equator, and it extends all the way beyond Pluto by a billion miles. And yet the thing is only 10,000 kilometers thick. So it's really, you know, almost like a piece of paper. And that current sheet actually undulates, and that undulation is actually what the Egyptians, the Maya, the ancient Chinese all referred to as the plumed serpent. That was the dragon. Do you see what I mean? In Maya and Aztec lore, they had the plumed serpent, right? And so they were referring to the equator. They knew how to, for instance, meditate with that current sheet using alchemical preparations to understand the times that they could, for instance, fast and use foods that were really good for the pineal, and then build up their body's electromagnetism to the point where they could just go out into the sun at the appointed time and literally go out of phase with this level of reality. They were short-term disappearances, if you will, but they did that largely because it was a miraculous event that they could use to manipulate the masses. And so the Egyptian court magicians, you know, literally the priests, they would use, you know, what they knew to be science, but the masses thought to be magic. And so that's a science, as an example, that we are being called upon to remember, you know, even as we speak, and why everything that I'm doing alchemically right now has to do with the sun.
Right. Wow.
And Egypt happens to be one of those magnetic connections, and so is the UK, and you know, there are major and minor ones all over the planet, and I have a feeling that it isn't going to be all that far down the road, a few years or whatever, where we all go gather and maybe we all just go out of phase for a minute.
Mm. So you may mentioned about manipulating the masses, Jason, there. Were we manipulated all with the Mayan calendars of 2012 and the Great Shift? What was happening there?
I think people were just so hopeful of something that was really just a myth, meaning that ascension to the fifth dimension, that was just an invented myth. And I think that the hope was so great that literally the mass consciousness was just being given exactly what it wanted. And if you were to go back in time, for instance, and talk to a Maya priest, the Maya priest would just say, "Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. All I'm telling you is that we know how to count the days to track one of our cycles, and that's the end of a cycle. And you'll be because of that, and because of the sun's influence." We know that you in the future are going to be moving into a segment of galactic space where it's a whole different character of energy. It's a higher frequency. It is an energy that is going to change, it's already changed the solar system. Every planet in the solar system is heated up. The sun is acting more strangely than ever. The heliosphere, which is sort of like saying the sun's atmosphere, which is actually assembled around that current sheet, it is interacting with that segment of space. And the heliosphere, because of the friction, has grown to 10 times its size than it was even 20 years ago. And with those, ionic reactions is just one type of reaction as an example. The way that it is going to come through the Earth's system of filtration, such as, the magnetosphere, which is, the protective layer of magnetism around Earth, the atmosphere itself, the ionosphere, those function as systems of adjustment for incoming energy, and therefore, as just one example, over a period of time, the chemistry of the planet itself is actually going to change. So that, for instance, the ocean is going to be a different chemical structure, down the road, however far, which means that the people being made of between 55 and 75% seawater will also have an entirely different chemistry. Does that make sense?
Wow, it's something very interesting. So how?
When is that book coming out, Jason?
Yeah. We want to get all the dibs on this here. Oh, my goodness. The oceans, the seas, everything. Oh.
Okay,
wow.
So what baby steps? Okay, let's go back to alchemy. What baby steps can we take right now using alchemy to turn our lives into a new direction? I mean, you've worked with tens of thousands of people over the years, Jason. What's typically the largest impediment to an individual's realization of their full potential?
Unidentifiable fear, to begin with, is an absolute wall between one's conscious self and one's own metamind. That's the first. Secondly, would be any kind of closed-mindedness. Closed-mindedness is exactly what it says it is. It's you close your mind and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the barriers. And so and those really are just the main ones. It really all it ever takes is that, you don't have to just run out and sign off on, my crap as an example, but certainly you can, get your feet wet and test for yourself whether or not what is being said has any validity. And not everybody's ready for it, and that's the only thing that would invalidate an experience is just a single example. But to give another example, we're talking about things like virtual DNA, where the alchemy will go in and recode DNA and will encode, meaning you know, there's you know, 95% of that DNA doesn't really have a job, right? Mm-hmm. And what it does is encodes that DNA to you know, start the process of opening a person to abilities and talents and creativity that is just sort of lying latent within that DNA structure. Mm-hmm. And if any given individual is not ready, you know, for that, for instance, the coding itself will just lie in wait, in, you know, just as a latent instruction, ready to do its thing. And so if somebody isn't ready for any given thing but uses alchemy now, they could be ready a year from now, and the alchemy will then go to work.
Okay. Sounds almost like a timetable.
Yeah.
Right.
And this, you know, your group is connected, you know, on a deeper mind, as an example, in the subconscious mind, you know, every single one of us right here are connected. And so when we started talking about, you know, getting me on the show, you know, we knew that we were going to be coming up with an alchemy, and I could just sort of watch how what was going to take place. Because, you know, I don't have to tell higher level beings their business. You know what I mean? They've got direct access to me. They can see me. And the reason they can see me is because I've opened up those conduits. And so the minute that you know, we have an objective to make an alchemy that is going to be specific to your group, they're going to put into it what is needed for your group. And so this is a very specific alchemy to this group. And you know, the gold and the platinum, which are really powerful yet entry-level alchemies, and a powder that it contains monatomic gold in it and some other things, because pure monatomic gold powder, you know, you could only use about a salt grain worth of it, and that might be too much. And so it has to be mixed with other things, simply because, you know, if you order something and you wind up with, you know, 20 salt grains in a tiny vial, it doesn't look like much. You know what I mean? And what that will do, in no uncertain terms whatsoever, so long as the user doesn't stand in its way, it will start that process of bringing down both the physiological and quasi-physiological barriers between one's conscious and one's meta-minds.
Right.
And that's it. And so, you know, for instance, we've had people that, you know, I love this one guy. He wrote in a testimonial. It was a good 15 years ago. And he said, so I, you know, I went to this website, this guy, and I bought some of his powder, and I got the powder, I opened the package, I used a little bit of it, and I stopped smoking.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was exactly what he said, and I thought that it was so funny. And so one of the, you know, the myths that actually took hold in the mid-90s with modern alchemy was, you know, that people were just, you know, just so dead set on escaping this planet. That's what they thought ascension was about, as an example. And you know, the desire was, of course, you know, these peak experiences where the, you know, the vault of heaven opens and you know, through that opening in pours the angels, you know what I mean? And what it's really about is how your perception of reality / the world is what changes. And therefore, you know, it's how the universe begins to respond to you, much less than it is, you know, just some sort of expectation of a peak experience having to do with, you know, disembodied beings that present themselves or something. And so almost to a person, the ones that for whom the timing is perfect, they will tell you. And by the way, you know, if your listeners would like to hear a couple of you know, comments from longtime users, we can bring them in.
Perfect. Are they on the line? They've called.
Yeah,
in,
they're.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
good.
They're listening in on this, and it, you know, it just if you let it, it life just begins to work, and it eventually leads to this increasing responsibility, this and the increasing awareness of the importance of that responsibility, the increasing awareness that you are never not for one second, not manipulating energy. It never stops. And so if you have something that helps you to make that energy be a more palpable part of your life, you begin to understand how it is that you yourself can become the agent of change in how the universe responds to you. And the way that would be put for as an example is how manifestation really does work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that phrase of yours. If you let it, life begins to work. I think that's a great, great, great phrase. Cause that's
right. And of course, it's raising, you know, the physiological frequency hugely. And so whatever there is that can stand between, one's own higher frequency potential, that also must go. And I think that what might be somewhat unique to the way I do things is, alchemically speaking, is how it removes those things without a person needing to experience it at all. But, you know, meaning like if you regressively hypnotize somebody and go back and find out what that central fear is, where the pattern has its root, then they almost always have to re-experience it in order to clear it. This is just a clearing program without the need for the experience.
Oh, that's a good thing.
However, there could be, for instance, some attendant emotion on, one day where you just become emotional. Everybody's experienced it where you almost can't explain it, but maybe those who are a little more intuitive can recognize that what's been, what's clearing away was maybe a semi-abusive event when they were a kid, or, they got picked on by some friends, or, whatever. That kind of stuff actually gets heavily lodged in the system, and those they literally become personality traits.
Right.
So
who could we call on here that has tried your products and has a wonderful story?
Chance is with us, specifically.
What's the Chance, can you press star 2 and raise your hand, and that way I'll know where you are. Okay, is he from Arizona?
He may have an Arizona phone.
Let me just try this one. Chance, is that you?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Yeah.
What's your experience with Jason's products?
Oh, wow. I just like anybody else who engages in this path or inward journey, is completely synchronistic and full of intuitiveness and full of absolute wonder. And, out of a random conversation one day with a friend, I find myself on Jason's site. And, you just kind of know. You come across something, it's like, this is definitely for me. I've been looking for this my entire life. For me, basically it came down to this. I was looking for a rebirth, a complete and utter renaissance of my entire person, my soul, my emotions, my past. I want to reset. In video games, you hit the reset button. Mm-hmm. I want to reset. I don't want, an eraser where there's a faint, hint of shadow or shade. I want a complete reset, and I want it deep, and I want a do-over. So, y'all
and
can
that's what
me.
You got.
That happened for you.
I got it.
Awesome.
I absolutely got it. And it affected everyone around me, It's you radiate it. You get to see how your energy, and you get to understand how consciousness works, and you begin to be a benefit to reality and to society. Harmony is introduced in your workplaces, in your families. Awakenings, opportunities, things that were always there that had to remain just in a dream state and a wish state. Maybe one day I'll win the lottery and my life will be better when I have $1 million and 1 million problems to go along with them, right? It's the dog chasing its own tail.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize you have to try a different way, but it's there. And you use your intuition, and you follow a path that crumbs into the dark forest, and there you are, Hansel and Gretel. And you, when you finally escape the oven, you realize the entire experience has been a forge. And now you're crystalline, you're a diamond, you're pure. The clarity is nourishing, and, you know, and it's a lot of fun, and the dreams are so cool.
There you go.
Yeah, almost like a coal to a diamond, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
How long have you been taking these products?
Oh, wow. It's been maybe 4 years, 5 years, something like that.
Wow.
Good it's been a great ride. It's the best choice I've ever made in my life.
Wonderful.
Absolute.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Chase.
Thank you for sharing that.
Wow.
Thank you
very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he reminded me of, you know, I'm connected to some extremely gifted seers, and you know Peter, of course. He may have even been on this call. We also have another one that I would consider a super seer, and these are some major gifts that these guys have. And I remember one day talking to him, he just sort of inadvertently said, well, you know, the thing about your alchemy is doing a whole course of it it's almost incalculable what can be done with it, but using just one of these alchemies can remove the need for 2,000 embodied years of experience in, you know, working out your karmic bonds.
Wow, that's good news.
Years. Ooh.
That's very good news.
Mm-hmm.
And his major point would always be this, and I mean really pretty much always, is that you know, we are in this tremendously accelerated transitional period. You know, there isn't a single person on this call that doesn't know that. And in that's, you know, due in large part to, you know, what's going on with the sun, what's going on with the magnetism of Earth, what's going on with the heliosphere, you know, all of the physical factors that are going into this transition. And that means that we're being, you know, constantly bombarded with energies and frequencies and codes that even 500 years ago would have been, you know, absolutely fatal for people on this planet. And the alchemy actually allows you to receive that stuff and use it and become smoother with it, more efficient with it, you know, with that constant bombardment, and especially when it really steps up its action, which happened right after the equinox, by the way, is the whole planet was in a week-long incredible upgrade to the energy. To answer that question way back when, and I knew that I was going to remember.
There you go.
what that one was, that particular thread was about. But that's important stuff to understand, and I think that he might be in on this call. Would you like to see if he is and have him?
And who
maybe,
is that?
It would be Arlie Steele.
Yes, right here. Hi, Arlie.
Are you there?
You're on the line.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, we can.
Oh, good.
Just going to turn up your volume a little bit. All right. There we go. So what are your experiences with Jason's products?
Well, I came to Jason. I had moved through a pretty tremendous awakening process. I think I went through about 30 years of awakening in about 8 months. And,
wow.
At the tail end of it, I went through something called, I call ascension. And to me, what that is, it's a huge uplifting of the light body and frequency and lifting of the light body to a very high frequency state. But what happened to me was the physical body didn't go with it. And I had found myself in this very strange state that was very uncomfortable, where my light body and my energy were very high, but my physical body was low, and I follow my intuition for everything, and that led me to the internet, and with some keywords, very intuitive keywords, I found this website. and it happened to be Jason. I didn't read anything on it. I just called the number right away, and I got Jason on the other line. And right away, he could tell and feel and know what was happening to me, and made a couple adjustments to me, as he said he does his healing work. And I ordered my first alchemy from him, which happened to be indium, which used to be a very important first step before you began to work with the monatomic powder-type metals. And when I received that indium, it changed everything. It grabbed in at the physical level and lifted everything up so that I became balanced again. And it also started a path, and this was probably 8 years ago, for me to walk down the path of this alchemy and be involved with it, along with Jason. And I think it's really important to say, in my experience, that all of us have within us everything we need for our journey within ourselves. We don't need anything that's external. We don't have to. In my instance, when I woke up, I downloaded everything myself. And I didn't even know there was anybody else on earth doing anything like this. For many months, I was on my own. Now I can read all these books and things and see all these stories that are told. And it's like, yes, that's what my experience is. But I think it's important to point out that alchemy provides such a great balance to your spiritual path. And there's so much more to it, as Jason was talking about this evening. But from a basic standpoint, for someone who's on their spiritual journey, who's trying to connect with spirit and themselves and stay in that state where their mind is quiet and they have balance so that they can focus on all this other stuff that goes on around us, the alchemy sort of takes over the very basic things that take a lot of attention to keep balanced and just balances them for you so that you can focus on these higher level things, which is what you need to do on your path. And I had already done that when I came to the alchemy. So I was already existing in a completely quiet state in my mind 24 hours a day and all these things. And what it was for me was like a relief. It's like, oh, geez, I didn't realize how much effort I was putting into all of this lower stuff, mm-hmm. keeping mm-hmm. these fields balanced, keeping my energy balanced, dealing with, what happens when you run into certain people and your energy gets all messed up. Mm-hmm. And all those things, the alchemy sort of autopilots with you. So you really didn't talk too much about that because I think Jason's very modest about his work and himself, but it's truly a blessing to connect with these things. They just provide such a beautiful space to exist in and do what you do. So that's what I'd really like to share.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's a great point. I would have been useful for me to remember.
You got your peeps remembering for you there.
You have space to exist. I mean, how does it get any better than that? I love that.
Right.
Thank you for
sharing
that. That's just wonderful.
Thank you very much for sharing that, Harley. Thank you.
Thanks, Harley. The check's in the mail.
That's funny.
Well, so Jason has, created, right, Karen, a wonderful bundle for us called the Potentia Alchemy.
Potentia is Latin for potential.
Yeah.
Yay. So it's our own little brand, which is very cool. Yeah. In this bundle, it's a product, it's a bundle of products and a service for powerful spiritual growth and consciousness expansion, which include a 2-ounce atomizer spray bottle of upper octave gold liquid alchemy, and then another 2-ounce bottle of upper octave platinum liquid alchemy. Selma, you've got a testimonial you'd like to read there.
Oh yeah, that's what, and I want to. I've tried that gold. Like the spray and everything else there too, for my face. And sometimes, I was cutting some branches. The jumeters have those rough edges. And, geez, my whole arms were full of little scratches and everything else and itchy and everything else there too. So I took Jason's little spray thing here, and within, you know, like 10 minutes, all the pain was there. The redness came out of that. I just love it. So, but anyways, I want to read this from Judith from Riverside, California. And this is not your, you know, kind of probably typical person that would buy products like this, but she is just enthused. She's an active 71-year-old woman living in the southwestern U.S. with years of heavy sun exposure. This has created not only skin cancer, but much drying and wrinkling of my once smooth skin. After many years of using products developed by you guys, the skin cancer is now only darker brown patches. New growth activity has stopped. Recently began using the platinum and gold exclusively. Now, these are fine misting spray liquids. Have been alternating them, though often use them both at different times in the day. I spray my face, my hair, my neck, my skin, arms, legs, and feet. Have been having some teeth problems in the last year. Have also been spraying quite heavily into my mouth, paying particular attention to the problem areas. Now, the physical responses are interesting because I found an instant response from my body in a form of a bright energy boost. Now, this sounds crazy, but it's truth for me. There's no flooding of energy, but a simple feeling like doing more, being in harmony in all parts of the body. In the 2+ weeks I've been using them, I've begun to meld together as a true loving family. It takes just one of us, me, being centered and balanced without judgment or harshness of word or action to make the first in judgment. How that feels inside of me is that I wake every morning clear without dread for the day's activities. I find that I am taking life and living one small moment at a time, and I have no darkness of mind or heart clouding those moments. I fully support the work of these people based on my years of experience with them. However, I must also say that Jason has truly outdone himself with these latest incredible liquids. These can be taken without hesitation or fear. For the newcomer to products of this type, ingestion enter onto the body is user-directed without fear. I just find that every time I get a metal picture of the beautiful bottles that arrives with a sense of joy right in the middle of doing something else, seemingly without provocation. It seems to me this is evidence of a living substance that is communicating, sharing with me the pure love of being, life in balance, and harmony. Now, wow, that is an incredible, incredible testimonial for the gold and the platinum sprays.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about the white powder gold, Jason?
What exactly do you want to know?
Who's it for?
You mean the product that the Potentia bundle?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does have pure gold in it, and its conversion process is. Has largely to do with a lot of work having gone into the conversion of the gold into a different liquid form. For instance, it's a totally non-chemical form where it's just actually gold suspended in water, and that's not an easy thing to do. And it therefore is able to convert to a dried white powder form more easily from a source of material that comes from a high energy place in southern Utah that actually bears some close similarity to high energy places in Egypt, as an example. And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning, just for the heck of it, that King Solomon would actually have, the workers go out onto the dry lake beds and sweep up all of the white material that would, you know, bloom on those lake beds after big rains and things like that. And he knew how to do the conversion from the monoatomic back to the metal state. And so a lot of King Solomon's gold came from basically waters like the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea happens to have, monatomic gold in it, just as the Great Salt Lake here in Utah has. And by the way, the Great Salt Lake is where I started my career. Mm-hmm. And so these materials do exist in nature and already in a nearly finished state in a lot of ways. meaning that they can be edible almost as they are, but there's still encoding to do, and there's still, you know, the handling of, you know, a practitioner, for instance, to do more with it and open up the material's own potential. And so that particular source also has potassium and selenium in it, as an example, and boron. You know, there are several things that are very good for the brain that happen to be in that source material, but it also contains a really balanced volume of white powder gold.
Right. Okay, and if that isn't enough, folks, there's two sprays plus the white powder gold. Tell us more. We've got one more product called the Prism. Now, this is something that is uniquely developed for someone, right? This is an oracle using symbols which both predicts what is needed and when energized does the energetic work. So tell us more about how that works, Jason.
Well, the thumbnail description of symbology is one where, as an example, we know that an archetypal level of mind, which is actually that whole mind level we were talking about before, where, as an example, in our own mythology, we have characters named Zeus. Zeus would actually be a symbol of an entire library of information. Symbols that exist in, for instance, you know, just as a, you know, a graphic symbol on a piece of paper can contain literally almost limitless amounts of information within that symbol. And that's why symbols are so powerful, because, you know, A, they actually do contain information because they are like keys that unlock libraries of information. And secondly, they can ultimately be invested with a greater power, if you will, by those that use them. And so, you know, there are some schools of thought that would call these sigils, as an example. But what happened is that, you know, Peter, our mutual friend, he had been seeing for days this dance of symbols in a fountain that I think he might have described as existing at the core of the galaxy. And I said, well, what are we going to do with them? He said, I have no idea. That's up to you. You know what I mean? And so one day it just became time to extract them, and there were 33 of them, and he literally just you know, scribbled them down as fast as he could, and then we began the process of better understanding what they were about, and it became a type of it morphed, you know, just because that was how we were guided to do it. And Peter wasn't really involved in any of that, but, you know, we bounced a lot of this off of him as we went along so that he could kind of see, you know, where we were taking it all. And it's just this system that just happens to understand better than I do, better than, you know, really anybody, what needs to happen for them on a really deep level. And we're talking about where it can begin on an archetypal level, because that's where these symbols do their work, right? And then it steps down bit by bit, level by level, and becomes, whatever outcome in the physical. And what we found out after we pieced all that together is that that one of those symbols was actually a type of tesseract. And do you know what a tesseract is?
I don't even know how to spell it.
It's a word that refers to actually a hypercube. And it's probably useful to mention that a cube is actually the most salient symbol for our reality, because it has six sides and therefore defines spatial coordinates. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but, you know, it's because you have side to side, up and down and forward and back, and therefore you have, you know, 3D. And a hypercube actually connects cubic reality, our reality, to quantum reality. And so that's why salt, as an example, is such a beautiful substance to use, because its crystalline structure is cubic. And therefore, you know, a practitioner, and I've done some really high-level stuff with salt where I've actually pulled through it platinum metal that I turned into metal. And
wow.
And I bought that from the other side of reality, you know what I mean? And so, you know, when you talk about, as an example, the transmutation of lead to gold, well, all I did was make platinum out of nothingness. And so
fascinating.
What happens is that if you've got it working on that archetypal level, the way that it works is obviously that it identifies the problem, and then the minute that tesseract-like symbol is actually energized, it goes about and does the work. And once again, it's just one that you know may even in some ways function on a deeper level, but it is also very comprehensive and is a great. It dovetails beautifully with the use of the alchemy.
Right, and so these are all personally created for each purchaser. Each prism is created, and then you give them the link to their own personal prism. Is that how I understand it?
Yes, it winds up to be really just a jaw-droppingly beautiful image in JPEG mm-hmm. format, and can be saved, you know, to one's computer. But each of the symbols is clickable, so that you can go right to the page that gives the general ideation of what's going on conscious level. And the more that they're worked with, the more that can be divined by the user from them. For instance, you know, you can sit silently with them. We have another website where every one of the symbols exists in this form that you can actually manipulate, and it goes full-on liquid right on your computer screen. And sitting with those, you know, you can actually just be, you know, contemplative with it and get really deep information from them the more you work with them.
Okay. Now, folks, the regular price for Jason's offer is $220, but for our listeners only, there's a special offer price of $189 plus shipping and handling of $9. The prism will be sent to you from Jason as a download image. To read more about this never-before-offered exclusive package for you, go to unboundedpotential.com/offers/Jason-Davis, or you can just click on the special offer button. That's so much easier. This special offer is about directly experiencing the effects of alchemy in your very own life, starting right now. Gosh, thank you very much for putting that together for us, Jason. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It was really, you know, it was in its own way, it was a kind of a, you know, I love doing alchemy. I mean, I absolutely love it, and to give birth to entities that I know are self-aware and know exactly what to do once they get into your body. And they actually will begin to adjust themselves the minute that they're ordered to the person who ordered them. Stuff like that. That's how, you know, proactive this intelligence can be. But when I was making this for Potentia, it's almost like the word itself added this magical layer to it that it was just, you know, I was just swooning when I was making it, because it just made my heart absolutely sing.
Aww.
And so there is some really beautiful alchemy in this Potentia stuff.
Perfect.
Oh, that's just great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to take some questions from the from folks here. So if you've got a question, you're on the phones, press star 2, and of course we're going to take questions from the question submission box, and we're going to try to get to as many as we can. So, again, just give us your name and your one question you want answered, and here we go. Karen, do you want to take a live caller?
Yeah, I'm going to take Gloria. Gloria, you're on the line.
Hello.
How are you? We haven't
oh,
seen
I'm
your name
really
for a long time.
Interesting. Yeah, it's... You know, I have a really strange question, and I think Jason is just the man to answer this for me.
Mm.
You know, I'm in Mexico where we recently just had that horrible hurricane go through, and I don't know if it's possible, but it seemed like it went through me. Is that
the hurricane
possible?
Went through you physically?
Well, it seems to have done the same thing in my body. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's kind of like, that's what I experienced, and I'm kind of bringing up all the junk just like the hurricane does, and all of my past and just kind of everything that, like, I'm not able to get away with anything, and my energy is really weird, and I didn't know if it was some kind of alchemical process, and I listened to this call, and I haven't had power for a long, long time now, and it just happened to come on today, and I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. So I found that whole topic really interesting.
Well, you know how, have you heard about how tornadoes, after they pass through, they can go, you know, for instance, through a neighborhood and find a toothpick embedded in a wall?
Well, I haven't heard that.
Have you ever anything like that? What they're doing is they themselves, you know, through the use of a vortex and through, you know, the friction as an example, you know, will create electromagnetic anomalies. That's why you see so much lightning coming from tornadoes sometimes. And hurricanes themselves are also spirals. And so, you know, I'm looking at that hurricane as we speak, and it was very deliberately set up to be a scourer.
Oh, it was horrible.
You know what I mean? And you just happened to be sensitive enough to pick up what it was doing.
Ah. Will it settle me down, or do I need to do something? Because I'm, like, drained, like, you know, how I kind of feel like the whole energy feels. Like, all dirty and got cleaned out and kind of tired.
Well, let's do this. Let's just, you know, I'll just go ahead and anchor you right to the core of Earth. And then I'm going to put you in a field, a null field right now of energy. You should feel it as a pretty light feeling. I'm going to go ahead and instruct the fragmentary sort of high jittery energy to sort of gravitate back into a more centered, let's call it attitude, and that'll take a couple of days. So it's already begun. So you know, it'll settle in.
Oh, I can already feel calmer.
Look at that.
Yeah, that, I do feel calmer. I was really quite it was hard to explain to anyone because it's bizarre. But does the products come from the United States or Canada?
From the U.S.
Yeah. Oh, from the U.S. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be shipped by Jason.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Yes.
Because once we get the postal service back, the whole building's gone. So once we get it back, then I'd like
oh, for heck's sake.
The building's gone?
Oh, yeah. Everything is.
Oh.
It's a horrible.
Oh.
It's a mess here.
Oh.
Yeah. And I.
Look at you can still smile. I can
well,
hear you
know,
smile.
I know that in the hurricane, I also had a team of angels because. I had said a prayer and said, put up hurricane. I didn't have hurricane shutters. I said, put up hurricane shutters. And one, mine was one that didn't get broken, the glass.
Wow.
So
yeah, there you go. That's beautiful.
Oh, it was amazing. It was a horrible experience, but it was kind of interesting at the same time. So I'm very blessed. So thank you. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate that.
Thanks for calling in, Gloria. I wish you well.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, Jason, we've got Nellie from Stanford. I think my 9-year-old son is highly evolved being. He is wise beyond his years, knowledgeable about the cosmos, and speaks about other realities all the time. I don't even know where he gets his information from. How can I help him develop to his full potential? What would you say to him?
Staying out of his way.
Staying out of his way. There you go.
Give nothing but but love in a clear and absolutely free of judgment space at all times, and give all the space that being needs to come to his full potential. He's a very special being. I can feel him in spades.
Very cool. Okay. Randy, you're on the line. Your arm must be sore from holding it up so long.
Wow.
What's your question for Jason?
In the assimilation, it's been like cosmic and timeless quantum and Einstein plus. It's been a fascinating experience. It's cool. And thank you. I'm grateful. Now, of course, whatever you sense, and you're welcome to, as far as my evolution, the question I think it'll help everyone is, as much as you've spoken about all these high-level vibrational experiences, can you shortly speak about how the ego and the emotions and the density of the body can be appreciated when we're, in these realms of conscious?
Boy, that, you know, you touch on an entire book right there. Maybe the simplest way to approach that question is this. Where, from our perspective, because it was necessary to compartmentalize the levels of mind, if for no other reason than to create the illusion of separation to the extent that could be experienced, that is what obviously entrains an otherwise very vast mind to think that it is local to a body. And so in that respect, as just an example, part of that entrainment is for us to say that the subconscious mind is the subconscious mind, when from the perspective of the subconscious mind, this reality is actually the sub-reality. And this reality is the one that's the dream. And the beauty of embodied existence is that this is a vessel that is the greatest eclectic collection melting pot of DNA in the galaxy. And that's a big part of what Earth is doing, by the way. It's using DNA to solve some age-old galactic problems. And with this vessel, which is capable of absolutely unimaginable things, we are able to make a choice and expand ourselves to the point where we can apprehend the entire cosmos while being physical. And because of that, we owe the greatest thanks to these bodies.
Great answer. Now, I'm trying to move my conscious below my heart. And it seems like the heart's enough.
Would you like to be introduced to another location on your body?
Please, yes.
Right below the throat, basically between the throat and the heart center, is your own personal galaxy. And I'll light it up for you so that you can identify right where it is. And it's about 2 inches into your chest. Do you feel it?
Yes.
That is a center that has so much esoteric knowledge contained within it that we're really not even at liberty to discuss it. But being introduced to it means that you can begin to plumb its depths on your own. And just understand that it is the location of the true voice.
Infinite gratitude, divine love, and in humility, I'll make space for others and say thank you, good night.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you. Wow. Melissa from Raleigh, she says, will your formula help with reversing a learning disability in a child? What could you say?
It could because it when we're, you know, one of the things that we were going to discuss tonight, but which we can do very briefly, if as an example you take any metal, especially the noble metal such as gold, it happens to be very conductive of both heat and electricity as a metal. And when you convert it to a form that can be absorbed by the body, it doesn't necessarily lose that conductivity. As a matter of fact, true monoatomic elements are superconductive at room temperature, which is, you know, like unheard of. And so what you're doing is introducing into your system a superconductive material, which ups the flow of photonic or, you know, photon communication between cells. And of course, the nervous system is made up of cells that happen to function a lot like plasma and energy and even wiring. And if it's appropriate, it can rewire synaptic connections, and will probably do so, but it has to be appropriate. In other words, the one thing that we can never do is make the assumption that any being didn't choose precisely how they are for the experience of it. And so, you know, if it doesn't work, it's because it would interfere with their own processes.
Right. Maybe they had a contract before or something like that to undergo something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's less a contract than it is a choice on an experience. You know, you have, for instance, a lot of autistic children that are choosing that experience because it is such an amazing experience.
Right. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Right. We have someone from. Oops! I lost them. I hit the wrong button. Sorry. If you're from Florida and you had your hand raised, can you raise it again? Okay. Start. Whoops. There's a little whoopsie.
A little whoopsie there.
Little whoopsie.
That's
I'm
fantastic.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're right. It happens.
It happens, yeah. We have Connecticut, area code 203. Who's on the line, please?
Peekaboo.
I thought it
What's
was
up?
You. Here. Everyone,
I'm an hour and a half late.
What
is this conference call about? What's up, bro?
Hey, not much. What's going on?
Nothing. I just wanted to chime in and, you know, just tell everybody on the call that, you know, Jason is the most person in the world with the most integrity, and his products are the one that woke me up and, you know, elevated me to do the things that I'm doing, and, you know, trust in what this man says, because the alchemy is the alchemist, and the products that he brings to bear are second to none. That's all.
Thanks for sharing.
Oh, thank you for that.
Oh,
you got it, man.
All right, Peter.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Peter.
Dream well, my friends.
I will.
All right. We've got Joanne from Canterbury. She says, hello from New Zealand. Hello, Joanne. Can you please tell me if there's any alchemy I can use to improve communication with my horses, hearing, knowing what they need from me, and vice versa? Thank you. Blessings, Joanne. What would you say to Joanne, Jason? Alchemy for
You know, what's really fun about working with substances like these is that they're fantastic for all of life. And so For instance, the platinum is a fantastic agent of regeneration at the cellular level, whether it's with a human, a dog, a horse, or a plant. And as an example, we have a lady whose dog had probably had some sort of abuse and was therefore very shy around people. And I think he may be a Great Pyrenees or something. And so he's a great big dog, you know. And if, you know, for instance, a helper comes around her farm who has known the dog for years and the dog has known for years, and he'll still run, you know, behind the barn and hide. And he was diagnosed with bone cancer. And you know, it was like just take him home and, you know, and make what time he has left be quality. And what she wound up doing is literally spraying the platinum onto the leg, if I remember correctly. And he, you know, didn't know what was going on and ran off. And then came up a while later, just sort of, you know, changed. And the leg got feeling a lot better. And now his personality is utterly a different personality, and he waits for his daily dose of alchemy, and knows about it, and is becoming more self-aware because of it. And, you know, as an example, you could put, you know, two bowls of water on the floor for your cat and spray one of those bowls, and the cat's going to go right to the bowl that you sprayed. And so and it is true that the alchemy opens one to always a greater sense of awareness and a greater apprehension of the reality around, and therefore there would be, without question, open conduits being established between, you know, the horse and herself, and you know, without question. But it's the kind of thing where, you know, you could literally, as you spray it, you're creating a field, you know. And so to get an effect from it, you don't necessarily have to get it on you or in you. You know, you can just, you know, create fields with it. And I imagine that if she just, for instance, used this gold and or platinum, and just the location I'm seeing is actually right between the horse's ears, right on the top of his head. If you yourself did not even use it, but did that to the horse, that's going to open to communications. and actually could be a lot of fun.
That kind of reminds me of that. Remember that show, was it in the 60s, Mr. Ed, the talking horse?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm really dating myself
here.
Yeah. I'm really only 29, just, folks.
You just dated me, too. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, I found the person from Florida that I dropped by accident, so I'm going to open up your line. Hi, if you could tell us your name and your question for Jason, please. Hello, you're on the line. Oh, see, I'm sorry.
Glitch.
Okay. I'm sorry? Is there someone there?
Are you
okay? I don't know what that was.
Okay. Do you want me to go to the dashboard or?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, Stacy from New York, York and New England. Sorry. So Jason, to release or transmute our fears, are you saying that we don't have to be conscious of them and work through them? We can use alchemy to just basically wipe it out to move forward?
You can loosen the pattern at its root without question. Fear is a somewhat different animal than other emotional densities, as an example. And for instance, if you are afraid to face your fear, and you are therefore asking this question because of that, then it ain't going to work for you. You know, you have to be at least open enough and ready to face it, even if it doesn't happen. And that willingness goes a long way towards clearing it away. Now, if you're open and perfectly willing, you know, with your chin thrust out and ready to do whatever, chances are it'll loosen it and clear it away without you needing to even understand why it's there. But once again, nothing inappropriate is going to happen ever with this alchemy. It's too smart. And so if it went into, let's say, scan you in its own way, and it could see that it would interfere with your growth by clearing it away, it won't do it.
Okay.
And so it's always, always, always for your highest good. Is that how, that's what I understand?
Right.
So alchemical products are only for your highest good. Other than that, they won't work. Okay.
Right.
All right. Okay. We have... is it Nancy Decker from New York? You're on the line.
Oh, hello.
Sorry, Kevin. It's not Nancy. Sorry. What was your name? It's your question.
It's the name on the bill.
It's the name on the bill.
My name's David, and thank you. I have some similar question. I've been going through some, you know, the emotional body, some fear and heart issues. Like I have, something must have happened when I've heard from a few psychics when I was 3, and then I've heard something recently, something like a visitation or something like that, and something in the subconscious from that, because I don't have any knowledge, but I get nervous when the heart speeds up, so it's been really challenging to deal with a lot of things, and it's affected my health a lot. So I really have to find out how to work with this issue.
The alchemy will help a ton, and there are some things that we'd probably need to get together privately about.
Okay.
But a great place to start would be the alchemy. I mean, you know, it just plain would. And it might be really efficient, as an example, if you acquired it and also, you know, with diligence, got about working with your prism and then, you know, because I've already scanned you right now, and I can see that there are things that it will be doing, you know, without any hands-on from me. But it is the adjusted you that I can work with after you have begun all this. Do you see what I mean by that? In other words, I want to scan you after you've begun these other processes, and then work with what we scan.
Okay. So how would I contact you besides just...
Can we give a phone number, ladies?
Well, he can contact us, and we can drop the message off back to you, Jason.
Okay,
we can do that, David. If you just send us an email, just respond to the email you got about this call. We can forward that on to Jason for you.
Okay.
And then you guys can hook up.
Or you can just info at innerhealingcompass.com, right?
.net.
Sorry, .net.
Yeah.
And we report that information on to Jason.
Yep.
Good.
In the meantime, I've gone ahead and put something, you know, basically right behind your heart center that's going to begin doing some calming work for you.
Oh, that sounds very, very nice. Very. Thank you.
Be well, David. Thanks for your question.
And do everything that you can to stay grounded. If, you know, it's like put your back against a tree and make sure that your tailbone is touching and the back of your head is touching and wherever else touches on your spine. And just communicate with the inner intelligence of the tree to keep you well anchored, because it's really easy for you to to get too far outside your center. And that leads to adrenal reactions and, you know, all kinds of stuff with you. And so, you know, we got to pull it all back in and make it be calm and get a few things out of you and things like that. And then you're going to find just like literally, you know, sooner than you think that you're going to have your hands vibrating with some power.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I do feel energy. I do energy healing work. I was the channeling. The spirit said that I'm a true alchemist. Is what he said before I went to an alchemy event in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it must be tremendously difficult in your healing work to make sure that your let's call it fragmentation doesn't actually spill into your work. It's you must be really mindful about that, huh?
I'm not sure.
Well, I would suspect that your higher mind takes care of a lot of it, but you know, it's time to do some things, and a great place to start is that alchemy package.
Okay, good. Very good.
Thank you, David. Thanks for your call, and be well.
Thank you.
Yes, you too. Much love.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What I love what you say about Jason about anchoring, you know, like with a tree or something.
That's
like that.
That's what Thelma always does.
I do that. I have a built a deck around the tree. You know, and it says cut the tree. No, the deck goes around the tree. I love that tree. It's just, it's my solace. It's my solace.
Trees are fantastic because their own subconscious mind, as it were, you know, is obviously connected to the entire biosphere. So it's easy for trees to take that and put it into the grids and get it distributed so that it can be transmuted in other ways.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, about taking one more question from the dashboard and one live caller, and then we'll call in.
How's your time? Jason, are you good?
To take a couple
more? I'm good, yeah.
Okay,
thanks.
It's too much fun.
Okay. All right. Well, there's lots of questions. So, okay, we got Tamara from New York. She says, I've recently had a vortex in my pond. It is going counterclockwise. I feel very happy and joyful. What is happening and why? I live in upstate New York.
For instance, the poltergeist phenomenon is thought to be, you know, almost like ghosts that are just mischievous and exterior to the person's own psyche. Poltergeists are actually direct projections of the person's psyche, and it's almost always, you know, a way to for energy to find an escape. And so many, literally everybody on Earth is dealing with you know, just an amazing amount of energy, you know, whether aware of it or not. And when, for instance, undergoing purging processes, because, you know, everybody's doing that with or without alchemy, it's just that alchemy can speed that process up almost unimaginably. And so what you're seeing there is a manifestation of your own consciousness. And water is you know, a fantastic conduit. And it's, you know, water is almost like, you know, air, only it's can be touched. And that's a great way to express it. So in a sense, you know, I don't know how many people know this, but crop circles are actually a manifestation of our consciousness. That's not off-world beings coming here and building those. They are energy outlets, and they take the form of symbols, you know, especially in the UK, because that symbolism is what, you know, rests deep within our own, you know, archetypal psyche. And so you could say that what's going on in that pool is, in fact, your own private crop circle, only it's being done in water.
I did not know that about crop circles.
Not know that either.
Incredible. All right. Okay, we have Ohio, area code 740. You're on the line. If you could tell us your name and your question for Jason, please.
Hello?
Hello? You're on the line?
This is Virginia.
Hi, Virginia.
I'm surprised to get my call.
Of course.
Oh, it's like playing the lottery here.
Yeah. Your number, you're up.
Well, I didn't get on very, I didn't really hear much of your, you know, what was going on, but I live in chronic pain. I don't know whether there's anything you can help me with or not.
Have you been diagnosed?
A lot of it's spinal problems. And then my
meaning structural or?
It's my jaw and my neck, and left shoulder, mostly my left side of my body and my left hip, like sacral and sciatic.
Have you tried to work with any healers or anything like that for that?
Yes, I have. A lot of them.
And a lot of them. And that included acupuncture?
I've done that. This has been a long ordeal. I mean, like close to 30 years, but things have just gotten worse. Seemed like I would gain something and then I would fall and undo things. And yeah, I did try acupuncture, matter of fact, in Alaska where my daughter lived. There isn't probably anything I tried.
Again, you know, everything is about the psyche and how anything gets out-pictured into the physical structure and physiological processes is still going to have something to do with the psyche. And, you know, it can come down to explanations as simple as when are you going to be free of your addiction to that pain? And understanding, you know, because, you know, pain as an example is always just a signpost that you need to pay attention to something. And so it's a process of, you know, trying to find out what you should be paying attention to. And it might not be as simple as clearing away the root causes of the patterns that become pain in your conscious experience, but it could be. And therefore, the alchemy might actually help.
Mm-hmm.
It might. And I think that a bonus with that is that it could be fairly instantly noticeable whether or not it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning that you could detect it and track it and have it be fully registered on your day-to-day experience. And it wouldn't surprise me. I kind of feel as though it would be a good place to start. And I think that there are other things that could be done. But some of that, you know, is going to require a very open mind, and it's going to require some real, you know, contemplation on your part with a sincere and open heart to discover what is really going on. And believe it or not, it feels like an addiction to me. And that addiction almost has something to do with a really deep-seated fear, and therefore you've got your own, you've erected your own barriers to keep from moving beyond that fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, where would you apply this then?
The alchemy? You can just spray it in your mouth.
Okay.
But you know, we have a lot of people, you know, spraying locations, you know, and it,
that's
and
what
it,
I do,
it
yeah.
does a ton, mm-hmm. it does a ton of good. You know, I mean, I had a really, really intense muscle cramp in my calf one day, and I sprayed it on it, and, you know, not only, I just didn't even notice it. It just was no longer there somehow, you know, And I forgot so completely about it that it was only the next day I remembered that I had had it.
Okay.
I've done it for a sore throat, too. I just sprayed it in my mouth, and it was done.
I've done it for a sore wrist. Yeah.
Well, it's worth a try.
Yeah, it is. It's
everything else.
It's definitely worth a try, and it is very high level stuff. But you know, there's no one size fits all, and mm-hmm. it really does have to be understood, and it really, and I mean acknowledged, with clarity and courage, that conditions are often necessary for the most rapid growth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
that's helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much for phoning in. Thank you.
Thanks, Virginia.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Virginia.
Jason, can I just take this last question? We've got a caller who said, I am healing naturally from a major disease. Will this interfere with your product's effectiveness? Thanks.
No. No, it'll just amp it all up.
Okay. Amp it all up. All right. Great.
Okay. Okay.
Well, thank you, everybody. Right, Karen?
Gosh, yeah.
The evening is so long, and my phone is
people
going
on the East Coast, it's bedtime.
Here.
Gosh.
So we thank everybody for their questions.
Yeah, that's
really appreciate that.
For sure.
Well, that's some diligence for all those that hung in. Thank you very much.
Sure.
It was so fun.
Okay, so folks, if you haven't already done so, now is the time to take advantage of Jason's special offer, which includes the 2-ounce spray bottle of Upper Octave Gold Liquid Alchemy, 2-ounce spray bottle of Upper Octave Platinum Liquid Alchemy, plus Potentia Powder. This product has been made and sold for 14 years and is loved by thousands of people. And, of course, your very own Selected Prism, which both identifies areas in your life with the highest priorities in the moment to be dealt with, often well below your conscious axis. And then, excuse me, when activated or energized by you, also does the work in clearing them away. And all of this at a price of $189 plus shipping and handling. Again, you can find all of the information at either the special offer button if you're on the speaker page or at unboundedpotential.com/offers/Jason, Jason dash Davis, Davis. Oh, Jason, we thank you so much for being with us. You're just
thank you, Karen and Salma. This was just so beautiful.
It was a while in coming, but we got it done, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We got it
done.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We
did. Yeah,
thank
we did.
You so much. We're so grateful.
Right on time.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Salma.
Yeah, your generosity of spirit and compassion always felt. And to you, our dear listeners, for taking time out of your busy schedule, we thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate, again, each and every one of you and commitment to being more empowered. We can't wait to see you back here as the journey continues. Create amazement, everyone. Thank you and goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
We truly hope you enjoyed today's presentation to assist you in going beyond.
Until next time, be more, love more, live more, and never settle for less.